Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
Once again, we greet you in the name of the Lord. It is a blessing to visit with you by way of radio that we can offer words of encouragement to you and, well, just to drop in and visit with you on a daily basis as you can tune into the broadcast. And just to encourage and to thank the Lord and, you know, to hear this, that the Lord is good. I don't know what kind of situation you may find yourself in. I don't know if you are experiencing defeat or victory in your life, but there is victory in Jesus. Don't ever listen to anyone and tell you that you can get out of the Lord and find a greater solution to your problem. You can find something that'll last for the end of the day, but you don't have one or a solution that's going to bless you forever. See, our Savior is the eternal Savior. A bank lasts as long as the bank is good and as long as you're good for paying it back. Or a savings account or an investment lasts as long as your investment is safe. But when you are trusting the Lord, you put your trust and your faith in Christ, then you are not going to ever lose. Well, that sounds good. The sure way to succeed, put your faith and trust in Christ, and you will never lose, never ever lose, because He's already conquered death, hell, and the grave, and Satan. He's already been victorious over every enemy. He's conquered every foe. And there are things that bother you and me today, but they will do so for a little while, as the Apostle Paul wrote for our light afflictions are but for a moment. They are just for a moment, and they are sent to make us better, not bitter, but better. The Lord would have us to seek after Him. I was looking at that today. I was talking with a dear man who was going through some very great trials in his life, and we turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The scriptures tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, for our light affliction, verse 17, 2 Corinthians 4, 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, that's a flash, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, that's how quickly these things are in comparison to what God's got for us. They are but for a moment, and they work for us. You mean, yes, it works for you. This is working in behalf because you want to be all that the Lord wants you to be, don't you? You don't want to live however long the Lord has given you to live or me to live and to have lived that only for ourselves and been kicking against the prick that the Lord has put there in the life to get us going in the right direction, the ox goad to keep us moving for the Lord, things that make us move for the Lord. The Lord has something there that will make us move for Him. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Eternal, a moment, as opposed to eternity. Now, eternity has no end, has no beginning. But the afflictions have a beginning and they have an end. And the Lord tells us they are but for a moment. Now, in order to believe that, you have to have faith, exercise faith in the Lord. They are but for a moment. Father, we pray Thee to bless Thy people today with strength and wisdom to know how to serve the Lord Christ and to how to apply Thy Word. Lord, help us again, and I pray Thee to help me now to minister the Word to be an encouragement to Thy people. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now, turn, please, in your Bible to the book of Genesis, chapter 26 again, and look again at something here just to spring off from this in chapter 26 and verse 25. I notice these things. Isaac builded an altar. Now, the scriptures tell us in verse 24, the Lord appeared unto Isaac in the same night, and the Lord said unto Isaac, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and will multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Now you are being blessed because of Jesus, or for Christ's sake, not because of you, not because you're good, but you're being blessed for Christ's sake, as Isaac was blessed for Abraham's sake. And verse 25, notice what is the first thing mentioned. Isaac builded an altar, and there he called upon the name of the Lord. Secondly, he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. First of all, he built it there, an altar. He pitched there a tent, and he dug there a well. Those three things that he did, and the Lord makes it clear where the location was, where the Lord appeared unto him. He was going to make that a very special place. He would not forget that place. He was going to show his love for the Lord and worship him and have that as a time, but still it was but a place that he was traveling through. The only lasting thing was the well that he had dug. And later on, the scriptures tell us that verse 32 of chapter 26, they had said, we have found water. You see, many times men could dig wells and find no water, and their effort was in vain. Now, that was an effort in futility. To dig a well, to dig deep into the earth and find no water. You could leave that hole or that pit digged, or you could fill it again with the dirt that you had taken out of it. Now, that again would be double jeopardy. But how would you know where the water was? How far down would you know where the water table was? These men were digging for a well. And having built an altar up and then to dig a well down, to have the Lord directing would make them to surely have success. And to pitch a tent there on the ground between the two, their dwelling place, their temporary dwelling place, would be a blessed place, because to pitch a tent means that you recognize that things are not going to be like this forever, and you're not going to be there forever. You're just passing through. And remember that we saw that Abimelech went to unto him from Gerar, wanting to have an oath between the two of them, a covenant, that they would not hurt each other in the future. And Isaac was pleased with the statement that was made. He was willing to forget that, or he didn't even acknowledge them, as it were. Perhaps when he saw that these people did have claim to the land, he didn't argue with them. Because that's the attitude of a person who pitches tents. The things that we go to war about, I'm talking about in a home. I'm talking about in a ministry. I'm talking about in a place of service. People go to war because they forget that they're just pitching a tent, that they can put their tent down in the wrong place, and someone comes along and says, listen, you put your tent in my place. Okay, we'll just pitch the tent. And a pilgrim recognizes he belongs to the Lord, and the land through which he journeys belongs to the Lord. In verse 32, the scriptures say, and it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well that they had digged, and said unto him, We have found water. Well, you know, if you want to have the water of God's blessings flowing on you, you need to seek to trust God with everything. If you're going to go to war about everything and feel like everything is on you and up to you, then you're missing the whole point. Now, we ought to work like everything depends on us, but we serve the Lord like everything depends on Him, for it does. And Isaac says, he called this place Sheba, therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. That means the well of the oath. The oath between a man who had taken from him, or who had given to him, or a man who had recognized that the Lord was blessing him, and he was willing to trust the Lord with this. Then the subject changes. Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite. Now, the Lord, see, these Hittites were going to be a portion or a part of people that dwelt in this land that Joshua was going to have to fight. And here is Esau taking a wife from these people. And the Lord is going to tell Joshua later on that he was to smite everybody that lived in the land. Esau was 40 years old when he took a wife. Esau. Now let's think about this. Esau is the twin brother of Jacob. Esau is the older son or the elder son of Jacob and Rebekah. And they go and he takes a wife from the Hittites. Jacob and Esau, twin brothers. And they, again, had two different temperaments, two different vocations. One loved the field and worked with the animals. The other stayed in the tent, stayed near the tent, worked in the tent. And here is one who pleases his father and the other who pleases his mother. And one goes from the parents and brings grief of mind unto his parents, Isaac and Rebekah. You know, everybody, every child that parents have can make the choice to please the Lord. Every parent does not stop being a parent, or any parent does not stop being a parent when the children make decisions as adults and go from the presence of the parents. The offspring still remain on the hearts of the parents. This son, Esau, made a decision that brought grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. I'm sure that hastened their earthly sojourn, shortened their lives because of the grief that their children brought. Father, help us, I pray, to be willing to trust the Lord with everything, to realize that all these things that we know will one day end. We ask Thee to help us to learn from Thy Word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson in Greenville, South Carolina. May the Lord richly bless you.